I know you believe that the crazed fundamentalists had something to do with 9/11, but do you believe there's a bigger agenda here?
Oh, absolutely. As you probably are aware, I urged caution the day after 9/11, saying that I agreed that we had to find out who was responsible for that heinous crime and see that they were punished. But I said, look, we've been fooled too many times in the past. For example, right after 9/11, a lot of commentators were comparing the 9/11 attacks to the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, which put us into World War II. And actually, it was a very apropos comparison, but not for the reason that most people think. Most people think, yes, it was another dastardly sneak attack. No. The reason that they are so similar is that it is now beyond dispute that certain people in high office in Washington knew that Pearl Harbor was going to be attacked, and they allowed it to happen to further their political agenda, which was to get United America into the war. And I'm not even going to make a judgment on that. I think it was necessary to stop the Nazis, and it was necessary to stop the Japanese imperialists, but and I also understand and would agree that if President Roosevelt had simply said, okay, we've got to enter the war, that the nation was predominantly isolationist and they would not have gone along with it, and it would have been much worse even than the division that occurred during the Vietnam War.
And the fact that technology wasn't nearly what it is today, Jim, when you talk about time and space, back in the 1940s, Europe was a long ways away.
Right.
Today, it's pretty close.
Today, it's a plane flight. You could get there inside a day. Exactly. So it was the same thing. 9/11 occurred, and it satisfied the agenda of a lot of different people. For example, Dick Cheney, when he was Secretary of Defense under the first Bush, Bush back in '92, issued a defense guidance policy paper that called for increased U.S. military presence in the Middle East so we could gain control over the oil supply. And the invasion of Afghanistan and regime change in Iraq. But the communism had just collapsed, and everybody just thought he was a war hawk, and they didn't pay much attention to him. And then in September of 2000, we find that Cheney was a member, along with many of the soon-to-be members of the Bush administration, of a neocon think tank called the Project for a New American Century. And in September 2000, they issued a position paper called Rebuilding America's Defenses in the New Century, and they echoed Cheney's call for increased military presence in the Middle East, gain control over the oil, invasion of Afghanistan, and regime change in Iraq. But whoever authored that paper was pretty honest about it and said this was going to be hard to sell to the American public unless there was a catalyzing and catastrophic event like Pearl Harbor. Well, a year later, they got it.
And they did.
And it certainly accomplished their aims and purposes. Now,
what lucky timing for them, huh?
Huh?
What lucky timing for them,
yeah,
Jim.
Yeah, how convenient. Now, yes, you're right. I don't claim that there's not Muslim extremist terrorists out there. Of course there are. But I believe that if that was just the end of it, they can be caught, they can be tracked. I mean, my God, they can find, we have satellite photography now so good that they can read the label of a beer can that a guy's holding in his hand standing in his large yard of Los Angeles, California. They can read that from space. We can read license numbers. They can keep up with anybody and everybody, but we can't seem to know what these terrorists are doing. In fact, that has been shown to be simply false when some of our leaders have said, oh, how could we have ever known they were going to hijack airplanes and fly them into buildings? Well, excuse me, in 1995 they busted an Al-Qaeda cell in the Philippines, and they got the plans for Operation Bujinka, which call for that exact same thing. So we're going to hijack airplanes, and we're going to fly them into prominent structures, and specifically named was the World Trade Center.
Well, and go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
Well, now we have, and now it's come out recently, that there was a secret military intelligence unit within the Pentagon that identified Mohammed Atta as an Al-Qaeda member and, placed him in there a year before 9/11. And so what it boils down to is that either we had the most incompetent people ever in office, which I don't buy, or they were somehow complicit in allowing this to happen. And the key thing on 9/11 is the war game exercises. This has still not been brought out to the majority of the American people. And the 9/11 Commission only mentioned Vigilant Guardian, I think, in a footnote. And yet, several people within NORAD, within the FAA, when they were told that there were hijacked airplanes, their first response was, well, is this real life or is this the war games? They had war games going on that morning simulating, in some instances, hijacked airplanes. It's been reported that there were 22 blips on FAA radar screens that were false images. This was software images simulating hijacked airplanes. And this is why, because of these war games, that our normal security was in disarray. Fighter interceptors were sent out over the Atlantic and up into Canada. The FAA wasn't sure what was a real hijacked airplane and what was a phony one. And good Lord, now the question becomes, that's how the real hijackers were able to bypass our normal air defense. And yet, how did they know when to coordinate their attack with these war games? The National Security Agency had intercepted a message from Mohammed Atta the day before, September the 11th, and he was saying the match begins to, is about to begin. Tomorrow is zero hour.